First reading this morning is from John chapter 20, verse 1 to 9, and it can be found on page 766 in the Red Church Bibles. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw that the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from dead.
John chapter 20, verses 10 to 18. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Then they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that this was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned round towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Are you going to preach, Roger? You can if you want. Good morning. Christ is risen. Amen. I just felt like saying that. Everything to do with the sermon, though, I have to let you know. Well, some of you are still looking forward to an egg hunt, I believe. An Easter egg hunt. And all that chocolate that awaits. And even if you're not going on an Easter egg hunt, I assume there'll be some hunting for eggs in the house and eating those big eggs that certain people are looking forward to. When we meet Mary in our story, she isn't so happy. And she's on the hunt. She's on the hunt for some of the male followers of the Lord Jesus. In fact, as we look at her, she is in great distress. And when she finds Peter and John, she tells us why she is so distressed. She'd been to the tomb, you see. It was Sunday morning. Jesus had been laid in the tomb on Friday. She had seen where he had been laid, and she knew that there was a stone rolled over the entrance. But she now meets Peter and John, and she says to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Mary was really, really sad. She loved the Lord Jesus. And it was very sad to her that somebody had stolen the body. You see, as Mary was crying in Jerusalem that day, she wasn't thinking about a risen Lord Jesus. She wasn't saying, "Hallelujah." She was crying because in her head, there was only a dead body that had been stolen. I have a couple of things to say about all of this. It'll come up on the screen, I trust, for everybody's convenience. So we see Mary looking for a dead body. As she looks now into the tomb in verse 9, she's returned to the tomb from the city. She sees two angels there, and they ask her a question. "Woman, why are you crying?" Now, the angels could have told her something really important. They could have said, "Do you know Jesus is risen?" But she might not have believed them. But again, we're told why Mary is so sad. Look at verse 13. "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." You see, her great hope was dead. Her total commitment to Jesus as Savior seemed just futile. Maybe we felt like that sometimes in our lives. We've been really looking forward to something, and we thought it was going to be brilliant, and it was rubbish, and we felt sad. Or we were really looking forward to something, but it didn't happen because we got ill, or it had to be cancelled, and we were really sad, weren't we? And I say to you that if all we can think about is that life contains the dead body of Jesus, then there is no reason to have hope in our lives at all. No reason. And we see this in Mary in three ways. We see Mary weeping over her loss. Verses 11, 13, and verse 15. In fact, Mary's doing a lot of crying in this passage. And it just reminds us that followers of Jesus, though we believe these great things that we're singing about today, we too can be sad. And we know what it's like to be sad, don't we? We know what it's like to cry. Sometimes we would prefer that we didn't cry. But human beings have cried for all kinds of reasons. Because of injustice. Because of a futility of life. Because maybe somebody died that we loved. Because such bad things happen in our world and we're not happy about it. Or sometimes just because we know that there are some bad things in us that we're not happy about either. Mary wept because she thought she had lost Jesus forever. And that's the worst thing that could happen. But Mary, secondly, was looking in at the dead end. Look at verse 11. "But Mary stood outside the tombs crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb." One of the followers of Jesus, John, had run to the tomb earlier, and he'd looked into the tomb. And when he saw the linen cloth that had been round Jesus, we're told that he believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. But Mary looks in at the same evidence, but all she can think about is a dead body that has been stolen. There was no life to be found in that tomb, and there was certainly no eternal life to be enjoyed. Death had defeated her Lord, and so now death had conquered her. And I suppose the tomb was just a shrine now that you would put flowers at, or maybe some spices to dignify his body. That's how she would have seen it. Maybe in her mind, it was going to be the part of many, many Sundays of going to this tomb with flowers, because that was the last place he was laid, and so it would become a shrine, as these things often do. And sooner or later, as human beings, we will die, and we'll see other people's die. And if our worldview, the way we look at life, only has a dead body of Jesus in it, then there's absolutely no hope. In fact, everything is hopeless. And as we will see, death has won. So Mary's looking at the dead end. That's all she can look at. But see, thirdly, Mary seeking a corpse to dignify, verse 15. While she's at the tomb, she hears a noise behind her of someone approaching her. Her whole view of life assumes his identity. And his identity had to be the gardener. It couldn't be anybody else. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." It is important to treat the body with respect. And that's why when somebody dies, We treat their body very carefully, and we either put it into the ground or we go to the crematorium, because that's right. But if there's no real belief in the risen Lord, then there's no expectation or certainty that that body will rise again from the grave. And so through Mary, we are faced with a human powerlessness to stop death and have any hope of the graveyard's emptying. If Jesus is not risen, then there is no hope of the graveyard's emptying with risen new bodies being given to dead people. Now, I have to say to you, if you're an adult sitting here, or maybe even a child, that could be your worldview today. Your worldview has a dead Jesus in it. And you have wondered why we have come and sung all this great stuff, and is it really so triumphant? And all you're looking at life through the wrong lens. So we need to turn secondly to the living Lord finding Mary. I love this. Verses 15 to 18. I hope you'll love it. You see, Mary never found the body, did she? The risen body found her. The angels could have told her that Jesus was risen, but I suppose they thought, well, we'll let Jesus tell her himself. And so Mary hears a noise behind her. She thinks it's the gardener. But the voice sounds, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" These are our questions too, aren't they? We may know why we're crying, but who can deliver us from all this? That's the bigger question, isn't it? The living Lord speaks into Mary's life at the point of her great distress. And the living Lord speaks today through the gospel message that even now is being presented to you. His truth is being spoken out. For many of us in this room, the living Lord has found us in the good news. Religion took him away from us. Philosophy stole him from us. Yet the gospel proclaims him to us. He is risen. The living Lord, in tender glory and grace, uttered one word that I think changed Mary's worldview forever. He just said, "Mary." I don't know how he said it. I'd have loved to have been there to hear him say it, wouldn't you? Jesus had called Mary into a relationship with himself many years before. She knew the voice now. And now she turns and sees him for who he is. He's calling her again, now as her risen Lord. There is no dead, stolen body. And because she came to understand that, all her dead hopes got resurrected and some. As we look at this moment, we see three things. We see a historical moment. This really happened. Mary was spoken to by the risen Lord Jesus, standing in his immortal body. John wrote it down for us. Because Mary told him the truth, she was an eye and ear witness after all. And we know that John wrote everything in his gospel. He tells us quite clearly that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in his name, we might have life. It's a historical moment, and I don't want you to miss this. The first witness to the resurrection was not a man. It was a woman. Now, you might think that's not very radical. It certainly wasn't Jesus' time. Women were never called to be witnesses, but in Jesus they were. How about that for equality? Our culture is way behind Jesus, isn't it? My dear friends, if you believe the Bible, don't be ashamed about it. Don't hang your head at work. We are way ahead of the game because we follow Jesus. That wasn't in my notes, but I thought I'd put it in anyway. It's a historical moment. Keep it on track, Morris. Children are present. Personal moment. He says, Mary. There came a time as a 10-year-old boy he called Morris. And for many of us, we can put our own names now in this place. Christ came to Mary, or she would have never known the truth of his resurrection. And listen, Christ comes to us in the good news message this morning. And it is the gospel that gives us to him. Gives him to us. We can cling to our worldview of a dead body. We can cling to our sin and then ultimately die and die forever. We can cling to unbelieving humanity as if there's comfort in numbers. But if Christ comes to us in the gospel and we cling to him in faith and belief, then we live forever and have an eternal relationship with God. And this is personal today. And I want to say something to you. We have not taken him away from you today. We've not stolen him with vague religious ideas. We have proclaimed the truth of Jesus all the way through the hymns, all the way through the readings, in the wonderful poetry by the children. Well done, those children. Not just because they did it well. They told us the whole story. Biblical theology, if you want to know. Big picture. And so, all of this so that you can believe, and I can believe. It is intensely personal. And thirdly, there is a spiritual resurrection here. Mary got raised internally that day. Jesus made Mary alive on the inside of her life. The physical Jesus tells her, "Stop holding on to me." Of course she wanted to hold on to him. She thought she had lost him. Now she had to cling on to him physically so that she wouldn't lose him again. And Jesus says, "Enough of this, Mary. Mary, I'm going to ascend. I'm going to return to God. My God and your God. My Father and your Father." In effect, Jesus is saying and giving her a gift. Mary, you're never going to lose me again. I'm always going to be relating to you. And you can call God your Father on the basis of me. Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And now we see Mary on another hunt. This woman's doing a lot of running as well as a lot of crying. But she's a very different woman now. Back to Jerusalem. Now there's a radiant joy in her face. She excitedly tells the disciples, here we go, I've seen the Lord! Did she do a wee jump? Or even a big jump? You're going on your heck hunt today, and you'll find eggs, I hope. And you'll grunt excitedly back, look at all the eggs I've found! And you're an adult. Well, how much more, Mary? The first time we see her hunting for disciples, they've taken away the Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. Now she comes back. I've seen the Lord. It's a moment, isn't it? It's an incredible moment of history. Sporting history can be made. Musical history can be made. Political history can be made. Great movements have been founded and they are celebrated. I've seen the Lord. Do you think Mary ever returned to the tomb? The text doesn't tell us. But I think you have to say no. Why would you go back to the tomb? Her Lord was risen. She had an eternal relationship with God the Father through Jesus. Why go back to the tomb? Isn't it interesting they never turned it into a shrine? There are no pilgrimages to the actual tomb. There may be a tomb in Jerusalem that, you know, maybe looks like somewhere where Jesus was laid. But there's no guarantees historically. And you don't have to jump on a plane and go and see it, do you? Most of us have not. Why not? For we have a relationship with Christ eternally now. So maybe can I say to you, as I am about to conclude, your historical moment may have arrived. The living Lord in the written gospel is coming towards you this morning in TCM. The risen Lord who died for your sin to bring you into an eternal relationship with God. The Lord Jesus who paid for your wrong on the cross to open a way into a relationship with God for you. This could be your historical moment. And therefore it will be a personal moment. The Lord Jesus knows you completely as he knows me. He knows your whole life and every detail about that life. Christ knows your name and you're not a number. He can say Mary and summarize her whole life in that word. In the gospel, Jesus addresses you where you sit, right where you are, as if you were the only person in TCM. You were the only person in the whole of the world. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us. Your personal moment may have come. And therefore, if it has, there will be a spiritual resurrection. Jesus will do something internally in your life. He will make you alive on the inside, and you will rise, and you will leave your dead end thinking. You will leave your dead hopes. You will leave your sin in living for self. You will leave your worldview that only has death as a winner in it. And you will come into an eternal relationship with God that not even death can destroy. One story, I'm finished. I've told you this story before, but I'm going to do it again. My Aunt Ethel was traveling late at night on the London Underground. She was probably at this stage in her late 60s. Ethel had left home in Northern Ireland as a teenager for the excitingly big city life, and she had lived life to the full. Now on this train traveling to Euston, where she lived, she was staring into empty space. She was broken. She was sad. She was lonely. And she was guilty. The carriage was empty, and yet there was debris littered on the floor. Her eye caught a leaflet discarded by another passenger. Ethel picked it up and discovered that it was a tract about Jesus Christ. In that tract, she had read a message that she had known as a teenager. That Jesus had died for her sins and rose again to justify her before God. That in knowing Jesus, she could have an eternal relationship with God. And though she did not deserve this relationship, God in grace had provided it for her through Jesus, who died and rose again. Deep underground in London, the living Lord found Ethel that day. Not with a voice, not physically turning up, but in a simple message written on some paper discarded by another passenger who thought it was rubbish. And yes, this was history, because it really happened to her. And yes, it was intensely personal. The living Lord in that tract was coming to my aunt, whom you don't even know, and who is no longer with us anyway. And in the middle of all of that, Ethel cried out in faith and clung to the truth about Jesus that tract had stated. And the forgiveness of God in Jesus entered her soul, and a spiritual resurrection on the underground system took place. And that could be for you today. A historical moment, an intensely personal moment, and a spiritual resurrection. And if you are a follower of Jesus today, shouldn't this profoundly move us with a greater love for Jesus? To commit our lives to Jesus afresh. Here, Lord, here's my life. It belongs to you. You're my Lord. You're my worldview. Jesus went to a tomb once. His follower Lazarus was dead. And it was said in the poem. And Jesus announced to Martha just before he went to the tomb, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha, being a good Jew, said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, the final resurrection when Jesus returns." And Jesus said to her some astounding words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Now here's the question. In TCM this morning, the living Lord is speaking it to you. The voice that spans the centuries. It's not me. You only see me, you've lost it. Do you believe this?